We've been on a series of lessons the last couple of weeks entitled Faith Essentials, and what we're doing is we're wall-to-wall faith on Wednesdays and Sundays. This is what we're going to be doing. We're going to be looking at faith from every aspect, from every side. We're going to look at it. I believe God's going to show us some things that we have not seen before, but we also think that he's going to believe them, that he's going to bring some things to our remembrance that we may have let slip over the years. So I gave you all a definition for faith, my operational definition, and that definition of faith is not considering impossibilities parallel with full persuasion that triggers a corresponding action that is in agreement with what you believe. So when I have a question or not, whether or not I'm in faith, I need to think of this definition, and I need to ask myself, am I considering impossibilities? If I'm considering impossibilities, then I'm probably not in faith. You got to ask myself, am I fully persuaded? My mic sound a little different, so I don't know what y'all got to do back there. It's parallel with this full persuasion. I got to ask myself, you got it, am I fully persuaded? Am I fully persuaded about what God has told me or what he's shown me in his word? And then out of this not considering impossibilities and this being fully persuaded, then this triggers a corresponding action. You know, not only my actions, but my mouth, my behavior. You know, all of these things begin to line up with what I believe. And when all of these things line up with what I believe, then I know that I'm in faith. Now, if you will, go to Luke 3. We're going to go a little farther tonight, Luke 3. And we're going to start at verse 21. Luke 3 and verse 21. We've already established that not every man have faith. And we understand that when we talk about faith, we talk about something that God has dealt the believer so that now we can overcome different circumstances and situations and things that we're facing in life, that we're not supposed to be overcame, we are supposed to overcome. Got it? The life of a believer should be a life of victory. Not a life of defeat. You got it. I'm not saying that you don't have, you know, problems and situations show up in your life, but at the end you should win. Amen. You got it. Now, if you're gonna sit there and consider any other option, you're probably not in faith. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how long the fight lasts. You got it. In the end, I win. All right. Now, Luke 3. We're going to go look at this from a little different angle tonight. Luke 3, verse 21. Luke 3, verse 21. And it reads, it says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which saith, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee am I well pleased." Now, to fully understand what's going on right here at this point in time, up to this point in time, Jesus had not performed any miracles. Got it? No earthly miracles that we have recorded, you got it, had been performed. Jesus had not even really stepped into the ministry, you got it, that God had given him or stepped into what he was born here to do. You got it? Now, but right after this, we see that Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. All right, right after this, Luke 3, what? I say Luke 3, what? All right, now, let me get there. Luke 3, 21. where you can skip 23 from 23 for the rest of chapter 3 is going to deal with the genealogy. All right? But what happens next starts, you got it, at chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." You got it? So he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the who? The devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now, so we see this situation happening. Now, you got to understand, you know, this is where you have to understand old and new. You have to be able to connect the dots. Now, at this point in time, the scripture says that the Holy Spirit leads Jesus, you got it, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, the question you got to ask yourself is, why? Why does Jesus, you know, he get baptized, the Holy Spirit descends in bodily form on him, so now he's filled with the Holy Ghost, and then immediately after this, the Holy Spirit now leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. All right? But now, like I said, you got to understand Old Covenant, and you got to understand what happened in the beginning. You got to go back to Genesis. You got it? Because at this point in time, in order for Jesus to be able to function as the God-man in the earth, like Adam was designed to function, he had to succeed where Adam failed. Got it? Do the devil would have had a right to cry foul? You got? See, you got to understand something about the enemy. The enemy is a legalist. You got it? He's a legalist. He looks at inroads into your life based off legalities. You got it? So now, you go back to the garden. Adam lost it all in the garden. They were tempted by the devil. That's what did. She would deceive, whatever you want to call it, in the garden. And then, watch this, failed. So now, Jesus, in order to walk in the earth the way that God has designed him to walk, now, where Adam failed, he had to succeed. So now, the Holy Spirit immediately leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by who? Be tempted by the devil. Now, we're probably going to come back to this, but I want to make this point, that Jesus just went out there just going in the wilderness and the devil showed up. No, the Holy Spirit took him there. For that specific purpose, to be tempted, tested, tried, whatever you want to call it, by the devil. Because now after he's tried and he's succeeded, you got it, now he's going to be able to be released in the earth to have authority over it. Jesus. Come on. See, the authority could not be released in the earth until after he was tried and passed. Got it? This is why, well, after he was baptized, you got it? The Holy Spirit led him immediately into the wilderness. You got it? Because now where Adam fell, you got it? Jesus had to succeed. Now, so in the midst of Jesus being tempted by the devil, Jesus had to choose to honor God in the midst of the test. Got it? Just like Adam dishonored God, watch this, Jesus had to choose to what? Honor God. Because what he was doing, now you got to understand, the whole reason, when you look at it from a holistic perspective, the whole reason why Jesus came in earth was to bring man back to his creational status. You got it? Now, we have, what, like we said, one-third of our redemption is complete, not all of it. You got it? But when Jesus came, he came, watch this, to fix it all. You got it? So now he had to be tested by the enemy. He had to pass the what? Test. Then he will be released in the earth to operate in the earth. Watch this, how we should operate. You got it? But he had, listen, when he was tested, he had to choose. Now I want to talk about this a little bit before I move forward, because a whole lot of people ask, well, why did God have to put that tree in the garden? Why? Why? Why did he have to put the tree in the garden? Because, listen, I want you to always remember that. There always has to be a choice. If there is no choice, then you're just going to be a robot. God didn't want robots. See, this is what God did not want robots. He wanted man, listen, to freely choose him above anything else. So there had to be a choice. Well, watch this. Adam failed. You got it? So now Jesus had to be presented, watch this, with the same choice. So at this point in time, Jesus could have chose to dishonor God just like Adam did. You got it? So there's always a choice. And you know, I say this, some folk won't say it, but when you sin, there's always a choice. People don't know. Let's go and say it. You ain't got to sin. Come on out. See, this way. See, the devil done fooled you. And he does. You can't help from sinning. No, sinning is a choice. It's a choice. You choose to sin. You got it? Now, you're going to be tempted, but you don't have to give in to the what? You don't have to give in to the temptation. Being tempted or tested is not sin. Dude, Jesus would have been sinning right here. So being tested is not sin. You got it? But when you give in to the temptation, then that's when you what? Sin. So now nobody has to sin. But, you know, listen, if we do, we got an advocate. Okay, that's what, you know, we got an advocate. But you don't, but as a child of God, you don't have to. See, because now, if you don't change this mentality, then what you would do is you will settle for something that you don't have to settle for. So you say, well, I can't help it. I got to sin. Well, the scripture says sin should no longer have dominion over you. You got it? So you don't have to. You choose to. You got it? When I miss it, I choose to. When you miss it, you what? Choose to. And this is why we have an advocate, because God knows you're going to miss it. But the question is, you don't have to. So don't let the devil tell you you got to sin. That's a lie. Sin is a choice. Now, when I talk about that, I'm talking about sin, the behavior. I'm talking about the verb, not the noun, the nature, because I no longer have a sin nature. All right. Now, praise the Lord. Y'all with me? All right, so in this place, we got to understand that Jesus had to choose to honor God. Now. Why am I sharing this with you? Because you must understand that the devil has a legal right to test you in the earth. Okay? It is not illegal for him to test you in the earth. This is why he shows up immediately when the word is sown. It is his legal right to test you. You got it? And so he going to do it. All right, go to Mark 4. Go back to Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 15. I shared this in VA last night when I was in VA. I hadn't shared it here yet, but I don't think I did unless it came out. I can't remember it. But I told him last night, I said, you have to understand whether you have to know the difference between the Red Sea and the Jordan River. There's a difference. when they crossed the Red Sea, they came out, watch this, and God just provided just enough for the day. There was no conflict after the Red Sea. They came out, he gave them manna for the day. Then they couldn't gather up nothing. You got it? Then they got a fresh manna to what? The next day, they couldn't gather up nothing. But God provided. God was training them in the wilderness that I am your provider. But listen, in that place, there's only just enough. All right? But now, in order to get to the place or the position in your life where now you have the ability to lay up, store up, live in houses that you have not built and drink from wells that you have not digged, you got to go through the Jordan. Now, as soon as you come out of the Jordan, you have to learn how to deal with conflict. This is why most people miss God-ordained prosperity, because they don't like conflict. They didn't start fighting until they came through the what? Jordan. They had conflict. You got it? But what believers do is we run from conflict. But you don't understand, when you handle conflict right, increases on the other side of it. People don't understand. See, so a lot, what happens to a lot of believers is we stay in the wilderness. We stay in the land of just enough. You got it? Because here's the bottom line. If you're going to walk in God ordained, and I'm all on this prosperity for that Sunday, but if you're going to walk in God ordained prosperity, the first conflict you're going to have to deal with is your lazy self. No, you're going to have to deal with you, because there's a reason why you don't prosper. You got it? So now you got to fix that with you, whether it's your attitude, your mouth, your laziness. I don't care what it is. You're going to have to deal with what? That. Your lack of knowledge. You got to deal with. So now that immediately when you try to deal with that, you're going to have conflict within your what? Self. Now, once you deal with that, you're going to have to deal with the conflict that come from other folk. But you will never get to your prosperity that God has ordained for you until you're ready to deal with conflict. This is why folk don't have successful marriages. They act like ain't nothing there. No, it's there, and it needs to be what? Dealt with. And if it's dealt with, it's going to cause what? So you say, you know what? I don't even want the conflict, so forget it. That's why your marriage stay broke. We rather instead of cleaning the house, we rather sweep the dust under the rug. But after a while, it's gonna get big enough. Somebody gonna trip. This is the mentality. People always run from conflict. See, but here's my thing. If I know conflict is standing in between me and what God has for me, then guess what? Let's bring it on. Deal with me, Holy Spirit, deal with me, because I know I'm stingy. No, I know I'm stingy. Deal with me. Because if you stingy and you got to get to the place where you're not stingy, do you understand that's going to be some what? Conflict. But people don't want conflict. So you know what? You miss out, watch this, on the other side of the Jordan. And you got to understand this. You understand, people? Y'all, man, oh, we ain't going to act like this ain't there. This is right here. This is what it is. Married to you, but I don't like sleeping with you. Oh, see, y'all want to say that. There you go. There, I'm going to say it. Ain't going to be no kids in here. And I said sleeping, intimate. Okay. So now we got to deal with why you don't like to be intimate. But instead of dealing with it, you just suffer. So you labor, and laboring is a part of the curse. Because nobody wants to talk and deal with what's really going on. And folk are all right with it. You comfortable living like that.
I'm blessed coming in and blessed going.
No, you ain't. not until you deal with some issues. Not until you deal with some issues. You can't deal with some issues. You can't handle money. Let's deal with it. Let's deal with what we're going to have to deal with so that we can learn how to handle what. Right. But let's don't act like you know how to handle it. Right. Let's don't act like that. So in order to do it, we're going to have some what? Conflict. But that's all right. Somebody say conflict. Conflict. It's good. See, I ain't scared of conflict. Because I understand the process, and but people don't understand. The longer I stay, the more I understand. You know, got this. Kingdom folk, believers, don't understand the kingdom, and that's all I'm gonna do for the rest of the year. Wednesday night, Sunday night, if we have Tuesday night, we're gonna deal with the kingdom because we gotta understand it. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. All right, so we said Mark 4. We're back to Mark 4. Right, Mark 4. So we got to understand that the enemy has a legal right to challenge me. All right, Mark 4, verse 15. Praise the Lord. Thank y'all, so I ain't got to turn to it. Mark 4, verse 15, it says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their what? Heart. You got it? So now, when the word is sown, the enemy shows up what? Immediately. So he has the legal right to challenge you to see if your heart is fully persuaded about what heaven has said about your life. Now, because we're talking about faith now. So when you get out there and you receive the word, you got it? The enemy has a right to challenge that. To see if you are fully persuaded about what you just heard. All right? Now, when your heart is fully persuaded about what heaven has said, then it is legal for heaven to invade the earth on your behalf. Got it? I was going to VA, and I was thinking about this faith thing. I was saying, so that I could kind of have some more clarity. You got it about it when I'm teaching it. And one thing about faith is, if you can't see, watch this, what God has said, you ain't even got in faith. Okay, watch this. Okay. By his stripes, I'm healed. If you can't close your eyes and see yourself healed, how you ever gonna be healed? You gotta be able to see. No, come on. You gotta be able to see. You got it? What the word has said. This is how I get in agreement with the what? Word. Now, the moment I get in agreement with the word, then now heaven has a legal right to invade the earth, watch this, for my behalf. But if I never believe it or get in agreement with it, heaven does not have the right to move, even though the Bible says it's about Jesus. It says that he was, he was touched with the same thing that we were touched with. Said whatever you go through, he was touched with. But just because you touched with something, don't mean you're going to act on it. Okay, you missed it. You can sit here, how many of y'all been sitting there watching Christian TV? And you see the little kids come on TV, and they look like they're starving, and they bad, and it touches you. All right. How many of y'all went in and wrote a check and sent it? So, no, you got to understand. So you can be touched. So watch this. Jesus can be touched about what you're going through. But watch this, he can't move. He was touched just like you touched. But he can't move because you don't believe nothing. So you don't give heaven the right to invade the earth for your what? Behalf. So just because you touched about something don't mean you're going to do nothing. And this is what folks, you sit here on Sunday morning and get touched. It ain't changed nothing. I was really touched, Pastor. Okay, praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. So you got to understand, just because something touches you, it does not motivate you to act. If I'm going to act, it's going to have to be a what? Choice. And heaven cannot legally enter the earth until a man or a woman gets an agreement with heaven. It can't. Okay? Now let's keep going. So, now, if my heart stays in agreement with heaven, then there's absolutely nothing that Satan can do. Y'all remember the picture of the coin? First day, you got 0 to 70 and 100. Word sown, 70 or 100 days before you get a what? Harvest. So in between that time, the devil has time to disrupt the process. He knows that the word is what? Incorruptible. It can't be corrupted. So now I got 70 to 100 days to disturb the ground. I got 70 to 100 days to get them to break agreement with the word. That's all. I got this time period. He knows I got this time period to get you to break agreement with what God said about you. Now, and he does this. I gave you this last week. He does this through affliction, persecution, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of what? Other things. So you get the word, you get in agreement with the word, then affliction shows up. What's affliction? Trouble. Trouble shows up. Trouble didn't work? Okay. Bring persecution. Come on, let's get folk coming at him. That doesn't work? Then he moves on to the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. But all of this is in Mark 4. This is how the kingdom what? Works. So when, watch this, when trouble shows up, I shouldn't trip. All right, now let's continue. Go to James 1. So through this testing, I got to learn how to persevere. Somebody say persevere. James 1 verse 2. Come on, I ain't even got to what I want to really get to. I got to hurry up. James. Because we dealt with this last week. James 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your what? Faith worketh what? Patience. Or that word patience can be perseverance. I say patience is the ability to wait with the right what? Attitude. So I understand that when trials and tribulations and those things show up in my life, I don't take it personal. When folk come with me with persecution, I can't take it what? Personal. It is just my faith being what? Tried. And the devil has a legal right to test what you say you believe. You got it? And he gonna do it. You believe God a healer? Okay, you really? Let's test that. He got a right. You said you believed it. I think I shared it with y'all on Sunday morning during communion. Paul believed that nothing could harm him. This is why he didn't flinch when whatever it was, the viper bit him. It was deadly. Yeah. Come on now. How many of y'all? A snake bite, y'all gonna have a whole Well, no. It bit him. No, you gotta read scripture. It bit him. Paul didn't flinch, shook it off in the fire, and kept right on doing. Why? Because he knew it didn't have jurisdiction to harm me. Jesus. The moment you flinch is the moment that you're not fully persuaded about what God said. And this is the place that all of us should be striving to get to. To get to the point where, watch this, I'm fully convinced that God is my provider. So no matter how much shortage show up, Jesus, I will not be what? Shook, because he is my what? Provider. All right? This is this full persuasion that we've been talking about. Now, so when my faith is being put on trial, how do I persevere? Or watch this, how do I put on patience? That's what I want to deal with tonight for the next 10 minutes. How do I get in this place called patience? All right? Now, the Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our what? Faith. So let's look at what Jesus did when he got tested. Go to Luke 4. Come on. I'm going a little farther than what you think I'm going. I know where you're going. No, but I ain't stopping there. Watch this. Luke 4. Go by. I told you we're going to come back here. Luke 4. And it says, verse 2. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be what? Bread. So now watch this. You got to learn something about the devil. So when the devil moves in to tempt, the first thing he do is speak. Listen, when he starts testing or trying what you believe, one of the first things he's going to do is he's going to begin to speak. Watch this. And Jesus answered him, said, it is what? Written, that man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word of what? God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him. So he spoke something that didn't work. So now I'm going to show you something. Jesus. No. He said he spoke it. Oh, you ain't buy that? Come on, let's show you something. So he says, and the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, it shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, what? Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou what? Serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. Now he's getting desperate. Because now he's going to really start trying to get you confused on the word. Verse 10, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a what? Stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy what? God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for what? Okay, now you got y'all understand this. Just because you made it through that test, come on, it ain't over. You got it? He has the right to come back and try you again. You got it? Now, let's look at this. So, when Jesus was being tried, you got it, by the devil, he overcame the devil testing by saying what was written. Okay? Now, this is where we're getting ready to go a little deeper. During the trying of your faith, you must remember what God has said so that agreement is not broken. All right? Now, if you don't know what God has said, agreement will be broken. All right? And, you know, I ask people, okay, you believing for healing? Yeah, I'm believing for healing. Okay, what word you standing on? I don't know. I got to know what God has said about my what? Healing. Why? So that I can speak it. All right? Now, as you speak this word from a heart that is fully persuaded, then all heaven stands at attention, waiting for heaven's jurisdiction to be released in earth. So now, when I remember what God has said about me, and I speak what God has said about me, now heaven stands at attention to back what I say. All right? Now, go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. Come on. See, you're getting ready to find out how important your words are. Hebrews 1, verse 14. Hebrews 1, verse 14. Got it? So, when I'm being tested, I'm being tried. My faith is on trial. You got it? I got to remember what is written. I got to remember what God has said. Now, I just can't remember it. I got to speak it. Why do I have to speak it? Because angels are waiting on you to say something. So you can't, listen now, you can't just think it. You got it? When he talks, I talk. All right? Now watch this. Hebrews 1, verse 14. I'm going to read the Amplified to save time. It says, are not the angels, all ministering spirits, servants sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation? So now, watch this. Angels are standing in heaven waiting for you to say it is written, so that now they can assist you in a battle that cannot be won naturally until it is first dealt with spiritually. Come on, you got to get this now. Now go to Ephesians. Jesus, glory be to God. Ephesians 6. Y'all know it. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Watch this. For we wrestle not against flesh and what? Blood. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this what? World. Against spiritual wickedness in high what? Place. So now watch this. How am I supposed to deal with spiritual wickedness in heavenly places that is impacting the world that I live in? I speak. Because now angels who are spiritual hearken to the voice of God's word. And this is the way believers get mad. Man, the devil starts talking. And you ain't saying nothing. You ain't quoted no word. You cussing out the person you thought it came from. This is what folk don't understand. Behind every natural thing that happens, there's something spiritual that is initiating it. Even if they are a believer. I don't believe believers can be possessed, but believers can be under the influence. Peter showed you that. When Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You got it? So now I have to deal with this thing by speaking the word. Go to Psalms. Psalms. Psalms 103, verse 20. And then, you know, and I know, it's just another lesson. And this is what folk do. They come to church and it's just another lesson. And watch this. And the devil continues to have dominion in your life. Because you don't do nothing nobody say. You don't do it. Oh, that was a good word. But you don't do nothing. Soon as something go away that you don't like, you revert to trying to figure it out naturally. He said the first thing you do is you try to figure it out naturally. Instead of just sticking with, find out what I said about it. Now say what I said so that now the angels can get busy assisting you. But you too busy moved by what you see. This is why the devil keep on showing you stuff. It works. It works. Psalms 103, verse 20. Watch this. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do what? His commandments, hearkening unto the voice. Hearkening unto the voice of his what?
Word.
Who gives voice to God's word in the earth? So when I give voice to God's word in the earth, the angels hearken unto that. But you ain't saying, you listen now, watch this. Let me clear this out. Faith-filled words. You can't hoodoo an angel. Come on, listen, Doc, they know whether you believe what you said.
That's right, that's right.
So until you say it out of a believing heart, and you just a quote scripture, but you don't believe none of it. And they just like, somebody say something. Somebody say, because they waiting for a believer to speak the word and believe what they say. And the moment you believe what you say and speak it, and it's according to his word, angels get busy. Watch this, go Daniel. Then I'm done. Daniel 10. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Like I told you, if it ain't for y'all, it's for me. Daniel 10. I'll take it. Because the brother, I don't know about you, I need some help. You got that right. I need angels to help a brother out. They can go places and do things that I can't go. And do things that I can't do. You got it? Yeah, and see, but we sit around, you know, just, you know, something bad happen. Well, you know, it's just, you know. Like we have no authority. Angels are sitting up there waiting for you to believe what you say. Now I tell folk all the time. Now one of the reasons why you don't believe what you say, because you lie about everything. You know, you lie about everything. You ain't lie about everything. So you don't even believe what you say. You can't even fool you. By his stripes I'm healed. You don't believe that. You don't, no, come on, you don't believe it? Now listen, now I ain't hating on you, because you continue to say it till you do. Because that do, but you got to say, you must ain't said it enough because you don't believe it. So this is why I just keep on saying it. Listen, when I was out in the world, I told a lie long enough that I believed it myself. So I'm going to keep right on saying it until I what? Believe it. No, he became poor so that I can be rich. You can't take that out of the Bible. So I'm going to say it till I believe it, and then watch this, rich got to show up. It don't have a choice. And see, this is at the kingdom. This is what the people are saying. The kingdom, this is how the kingdom works. It's going to work the way God has designed it to work, just like in the natural. It's going to work the way God has designed it to what? Work. Period. But we gotta believe it. You don't love your spouse? Keep on telling yourself, I love that man. Oh, I just love myself some her. Just keep on saying, one day you're gonna believe it. You're like, God, you know what? Dang. Daniel 10, verse 12. Then said he unto me, Daniel 10, verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand. Oh, Jesus, a whole nother lesson. When I set my heart to understand. When I really want to understand. He said, okay, I'm going to deal with that later. I'm out of time. And to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come. No, he says, now I am come for your what? Now hold up. Now watch this. When he was on his way, a principality tried to hold him up. Listen, read it. Read pretext. A demonic, angelic creature, whatever you want to say, tried to hold him up. So he says, watch this. From the first day you said it, I was on my way, but I got held up because I had to do some warfare in the heavenlies. But watch this. I was on my way. Now, I really believe this in all my heart. If Daniel had to stop believing what he said, even after he would have dealt with the spiritual wickedness in high places, he would have turned around and went back. That's what most of us do. We get right there. Right there. Right. It was right there. You was a day away. And you let something or somebody break your agreement with what God said. You abort harvest. You were believing for that healing, then one day you got up, man, and pain wrecked your body like it ain't never wrecked before. And you say, you know what? I got to do something about this. You were right there. Do you understand? The closer you get, the more the enemy intensifies his attack. He knows he only got a limited window. But we give up. Give up. Why? We don't like pressure. We say, it ain't worth all this. I'll just go ahead on and fix it myself. And then know what God says? Go fix it. Go ahead. But we ain't got to do that. But we got to start. And this is why I said we got to start meaning what we say. We got to start meaning. Praise the Lord. Y'all get something today?
Oh, yeah.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm done. My angels.